my take at thetakeaway.org. So at the risk of encouraging the IRS to actually audit me, I invite our next guest onto the program from our partners at WGBH up in Boston. Jason Zangerle is a senior editor at The New Republic, and he has an article in this Sunday's New York Times Magazine called Hell Nay, We Won't Pay. And look at the calendar, folks. We're getting close to April 15th here. It's all about new ways to not pay your taxes by April 15th. Jason Zangerle, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Zangerle, excuse me. Now, tax resistance is something that goes back to the Shays Rebellion and the beginning of the United States. But certainly the tactics and technology for resisting taxes or avoiding taxes or just sort of basically sticking it to the federal government have evolved over time. What's the latest?
Well, there's several methods. I mean, there's a whole movement. They call themselves the Tax Honesty Movement, and it's people who read the Internal Revenue Code quite closely, and they interpret the language in such a way that they claim they don't have to pay the income tax. They define income in such a way that it can only mean money that's been generated from the federal government. You know, you're paid whether you're a government employee or you have investment dividends through the government. Any other money, say, that you would get from just your regular employer doesn't count as income. And therefore, when you file your W-2 form, you claim no income. And, not infrequently, actually, people will get refunds from the IRS using this method. The IRS will usually come after them later to recoup the money. But that's one method. Some people...
But how do you just say you didn't get any income. You don't try to create an argument using the tax code to say this income doesn't count.
Then when they come after you, you use an argument saying, the meaning of the word includes says that this is not actually income. I mean, it's a very sort of legalistic reading of the tax code itself, referring to all sorts of sections. Sometimes you can go beyond that. You can get into arguments about whether the 16th Amendment was actually ratified. That's a popular argument.
Does that work? None
of these ever work in the end. I mean, since the 16th Amendment was ratified, it's been 96 years. There's really been no successful legal argument against the legitimacy of the income tax. But that doesn't stop people from trying.
Can I try one on you?
Sure. Go ahead.
What if, I chartered myself as a bank holding company and then applied to the TARP to pay my taxes for this year?
You might get some followers from that. You could try that. I think there are probably some people who'd go along with you on that one. I don't know about the IRS, but I think you'd probably find some willing people out there.
The IRS would only care that I pay taxes on the money that I got from the TARP. They aren't even watching the TARP, so I'd probably get $1 billion and have to figure out what to do with it. So what are some interesting stories that you found of actual characters who have tried this and their arguments, and some of them are actually political, for resisting taxes?
Sure. I mean, I think in large part the people in this movement are, you could generally characterize them as libertarian. And I mean, the thing that's interesting is, there are people who sort of rise to prominence. People outside the movement call them gurus. People inside the movement, I guess, just call them leaders. And one guy who I spent some time with, his name is Pete Hendrickson.
Right.
He's a libertarian activist in Michigan. And back actually in the early 90s, he got into some trouble. He was part of a plot to send a firebomb to the IRS.
You know, that'll trigger an audit. That kind of thing will trigger an audit. Yeah.
He was caught, and he served a year in prison. Since then, he's reformed himself in a lot of ways. If you just sort of look at his life without looking at the tax component, he has a fairly middle-class life in Michigan. He's a soccer dad. But he's developed an argument. He wrote a book called Cracking the Code in 2003, which made this argument about what income is. And he taught people to file what he calls educated returns, in which they file substitute W-2 forms and 1099 forms that claim no income. And people who've used his method have recouped almost $10 million in refunds from the IRS. When they get a refund, they send him their refund check, and he posts it on his website.
Oh, that's amazing.
Not surprisingly, the IRS, isn't very fond of him. And last November, he was indicted on 10 criminal counts of involving tax charges. He's facing up to 50 years in prison right now.
But he makes a really interesting point in your article that the whole scheme that delivers revenue to the IRS is a psychological scheme. People are taught to believe that there's really an army of stormtroopers out there. But in fact, almost all tax collection in the United States is voluntary.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he takes it a little bit further than that. He claims that, you know, the law is on his side and that the IRS intimidates people from actually looking what the law is. And he says, if you look closely at the law, you'll find that I'm right. And the problem is people are afraid to look closely at the law because they're afraid of the IRS. Yeah, he does. I mean, he thinks there's a big psychological component.
Finally, before we go, are people more or less afraid of the IRS in these dark economic times, you know?
I think they're probably as afraid as they've always been. I don't know if it's more or less. I mean, it's whenever you go to one of these tax honesty movement meetings, before people talk, there's always sort of a nervous chuckle. You know, who in here is an IRS agent? Raise your hand. I just want people. When you talk to some of these folks, they take very great precautions in assuring you that they only work with non-taxpayers, not with taxpayers. I guess that's a sort of legalese that they think would protect them if they ever actually gotten into trouble, since they're not offering tax advice. They're offering non-tax advice.
Well, read all about it in the New York Times Magazine this Sunday, Hell Nay, We Won't Pay. It's an article written by Jason Zangeli, senior editor at The New Republic, about tax resistors in 2009. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
And Mark Garrison has the headlines.
Thank you, John. We're coming up on 29 minutes after the hour.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.